It's like, no, 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 no.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Hey, true believers, warm up your chimichangas and sharpen your katanas, because this week on Geeks Without God, we're talking about Deadpool 2.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hey, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Holy shit balls.
And Molly Glover.
I also have a Deadpool joke. I lied.
We're going to talk about the new not Marvel movie, Deadpool 2. So, in addition to breaking the fourth wall, we are going to have a lot of spoilers. So if you haven't seen Deadpool 2 and spoilers are something that bother you, don't listen to this until you've seen Deadpool 2.
And I know what you're thinking. How could there be spoilers that matter for a Deadpool movie? There are always spoilers. But for real, there are some pretty big deal things that happen that I think that if you don't, that would necessarily maybe take some enjoyment out of the movie if you...
Having parts of this movie spoiled for you would significantly reduce your enjoyment.
Especially the opening.
Yeah. So,
well, there's stuff that we're going to spoil because it happens like right at the beginning of the movie.
Well, and then the end, too.
There's a lot of stuff. And
in the middle part.
I don't understand on a podcast how we're going to break the fourth wall. That's what I'm really trying to wrap my head around right now.
I don't know.
As opposed to the spoilers.
You better figure it out.
I feel like we're already addressing our audience, and that's kind of part of the whole breaking the fourth wall thing.
Yeah.
But see, I'm going to turn around and talk to the wall behind me where there's the visual audience that none of you know about because we're actually doing a podcast in a comic book.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Do I have cancer?
That was for you, reader.
Did I get cancer?
Brain cancer.
I think I have cancer now.
See, I just broke the fourth wall. So, Deadpool 2. Ryan Reynolds returns as Wade Wilson.
Amazing.
The mark for the mouth.
He's perfect.
He was born for.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. I feel like the moment I saw Van Wilder, I was like, I want this dude to play Deadpool.
Right?
Like, just because he was just so... Yeah. Yeah, his sharpness and his facial expressions that punctuate the beats. He's really good with comedic beats. And yeah.
So, did you two see any of the crazy promotional stuff that he did in Deadpool costume?
I saw some of it.
I did too, yeah.
What did you guys see? Because I saw
the one with Hugh Jackman.
That was with where he was wearing the boa.
Yeah.
In his hotel room.
And I watched the video of the Celine Dion video, which is pretty fucking funny.
The music video for this original Celine Dion song.
And I know I watched some other stuff too, and I just don't remember what.
He took the two that I remember seeing.
He also appeared in costume, and then a costume on top of the costume on, I want to say, a Korean competition.
He showed up in a Korean singing competition. We saw that. I remember that now. His Twitter account also originally only followed Hello Kitty, and then he added one follower, and it's the guy
Peter,
the guy who just is like, "I'm Peter, you want to be in your team?"
Yeah,
that guy has a Twitter.
letting Ryan Reynolds take home a Deadpool costume is probably one of the best things they could have done for this franchise. So this pretty much picks up right where the first one leaves off, more or less.
Almost. Like days, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably isn't, but it does feel that way. It feels like it's just, you know, maybe a week later.
What's the actress who's in Firefly, who's in the love interest?
I can't remember. I can't remember.
Oh,
Marina.
Son of a bitch.
Something.
Yeah. I'll look it up.
So they're happy together and.
Happy together.
In love. And
he's been gone a little while.
On a job.
And he comes back and
he's
been
doing merc work.
Yeah. She says, "Kiss me like you miss me," which is super cute. And
then she dies.
Yeah.
Like
straight up fridge.
To the point where, like, you think maybe it's a joke or a dream. And then they address that in the credits. The opening credits thing is like, starring, holy shit. Like, and did I just see what I think I saw? And like, is she really dead? And like, oh, fuck, what the hell?
It's the James Bond-esque psychedelic opening
that
sequence.
That was an awesome James Bond opening sequence.
Yeah.
It's the
maybe one of the best James Bond opening sequences.
It's the best James Bond opening sequence in at least, like, four James Bond movies.
I don't know. Archer's pretty good, too. But, yes, it is very, it reminded me a lot of Archer. It was very jokey.
Morena Baccarin.
I knew it was Morena or something. Yeah. Couldn't think of her last name.
So, yeah, I don't know. You might not be familiar with the term fridged. I think it comes from the Green Lantern Kyle, whose love interest gets literally murdered and stuffed into a refrigerator, disposed of as a way to motivate the character. A female character is not a character, but a motivation point for a male character.
Isn't it like if she could be replaced with a piece of furniture? That then it's like, so like if what it is like they broke his chair and he, or like Big Lebowski, like they took his rug and like what he was really upset about was the rug. Like that, the thing is Lebowski and that rug is like a lot of men with a woman character in a lot of other movies, where it's like everything is about it. And it seems ridiculous in the Big Lebowski because why is he so upset about a rug? But so she is very furniture. She doesn't pass the furniture test in this movie. No.
Which was disappointing. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was a little disappointed by that.
Her character existed in the first one specifically to, like I think, really frame his whole feeling of like, he needed something to get back to, like, his self-worth. Like, she was very, also, like, you know, with like, to explore Deadpool's, as we know now, pansexuality, but, like, his super, like, he's super into doing it, and, like, they did that a lot with her. She was a good character, but, I mean, she was never going to be, like, a hero in her own right or anything. She was always going to be, like his girlfriend and nothing else.
Well, so, a neat thing about her character that's worth noting, I think, is, God damn it, I can't... Vanessa, that's her name.
Yeah.
The character's name is the name of a mutant in the comics. Copycat, who I think is a shapeshifter or power copier.
Okay. So she does have powers.
She's a metamorph. In the movies, she doesn't, but in the comics, that... So she might eventually get powers. Maybe they're just reusing the name.
Yeah, interesting.
Maybe it's a red herring, but...
Yeah.
But the point is, like, she dies, like, right away.
Yeah. And right away. And he tries to kill himself a lot.
Well, what we see is him burning himself up, and it seems like that's a joke, but then it's real. And he blows himself into teeny pieces.
After destroying their apartment.
And he still comes back, and he regrows a body, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
The little toaster oven. With the pastry strudels in there.
Yes.
Before and after is a nice touch. And it's his fault, more or less. I mean, whether it is precisely or not, he feels it's his fault.
He blames himself.
Of course. Because
he's a superhero, and he's a Marvel superhero, and there's always angst.
Of course.
And then the X-Men are there for him to try to give him a new purpose.
Well, Colossus.
Well, yeah. And
there's nobody else in the... There's nobody else in the... In the entire place. I mean,
Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Yukio are there, which...
And they show, like, he bunts into a room at the X...
They're all there.
They're all there.
All the first class.
Yeah. That was pretty great.
Yeah, that was
pretty great.
Not first class, but... anyway. Yeah, that was great. Him rolling around in Xavier's wheelchair.
Yeah.
Messing with Cerebro and all that shit. Like, that was great. I think... That's my preferred level of X-Men in a Deadpool movie is enough to be humorous and have good references and not, like, rely on the plot.
Well, and him treating them like a joke. Like,
and vice versa.
Colossus is like, you know, you could really do some good. You know, come and join. He's just like, pass, like hard pass. Just, you know.
And when the X-Men see him when that door is open and they're like, shh, no.
Yeah. Don't let him.
They don't like him either.
No.
That leads to Flame Fist? Is it Fire Fist?
Fire Fist.
The kid from the Wilder People movie. And and from there to Cable and so on.
And Firefist is going through his the usual teenage mutant stuff where your powers are tied to your hormones and tied to your emotions, and you're getting all mad. God damn it. You're getting all mad, and so you can't control your powers, and the cops show up, and everyone's freaking out, and, well, and you get more mad because the cops are there.
And he's being tortured by this school, which has reference in the comics. It ties in a good deal to some of the extremist, like, mutant hate groups in the comics, which is kind of neat.
Cool.
They're doing a really good job of sprinkling in a bunch of stuff without necessarily having it wholesale, but having it there for reference is nice. So eventually we get to Cable.
Yeah.
Who's great. I love him.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
So he's now, he is Cable and he is
Cable
Thanos.
Cable and Thanos.
Yeah.
It's a pretty sweet ass
theoretically, Thanos could have dusted himself.
No, there's no universe crossover, remember? Because he's making fun of him for sounding like he's in a he's in a DC movie.
No, Thanos is Marvel. And
I know,
Cable,
but
yeah.
Deadpool's not.
Come on,
it's not MCU.
I
know it's not MCU, but I'm saying since Deadpool and Cable exist in the Marvel universe, Cable could have been.
In the Marvel comic universe.
Then Cable could have been dusted by Thanos.
In the comics.
In the comics.
In the comics.
Which isn't Josh Brolin.
Well, you know, you are being way too pedantic.
You call it being pedantic. We'll call it being accurate. So I thought he was great. I thought Cable is, I don't think Cable could be a terribly enjoyable character on the screen on his own.
In well, he's kind of broody and dickish. You know, he broods a lot. And then he gets into fights, and then he broods some more.
He's kind of the embodiment of a lot of the things I hate about 90s Cape comics. And that's when he was made. You know,
pouches.
That's pouches, huge guns, anti-heroes that are not very compelling or sympathetic.
Bulky muscles. Single-track mind. Like
Marty Stew characters that are... Who's Cable? He's the most badass, most powerful, best mutant, cybernetic arm.
From the future?
Yeah, yes. Right, exactly.
Yes.
And I feel like this was a really good way to have that character who
also,
is...
Also, his gun is badass.
Yeah.
I hate the way he does guns in the comics, and I loved his gun in the movie because it was tongue-in-cheek enough
reference
to the comics, the dial that goes up to 11. Like, in the comics... Rob Liefeld and whoever else has drawn Cable historically have drawn a hodgepodge mishmash of 50 different guns combined into some huge shoulder cannon nonsense.
Feature
and it's like, well, that's a banana clip, but it's shooting lasers, and why is there a grenade launcher, and none of this makes sense. And in the movie, when he's putting together that gun, it is like a pile of parts from all sorts of different shit. And none of it makes sense, and it does make this awesome gun with a dial that goes to 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was
good.
Yeah.
It was very silly. I mean, as you'd expect, I felt like they captured the essence of the first Deadpool movie without just repeating all the same jokes.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do another slow motion, you know, sequence set to a slow 70s song. You know, like, they didn't, it wasn't all the same.
I would have been okay with that.
Sure, but like, it was, it didn't suffer from Austin Powers 2 syndrome, is what I will say. And
that's
Austin Powers was one of the funniest movies I'd ever seen at the time. I was like crying, needing my inhaler in the theater.
Austin
the
Powers
first
is hilarious.
One.
Yeah.
And then I saw the second one, it was like, oh, it's like they gave the script to someone and they were like, what if I took this joke and just reworded it so that it's just a different words, but it's the same joke.
It's still the same joke.
You can go ahead and copy my homework. Just change it a little so that we don't get in trouble.
Yeah, and I was a little worried we were going to get that with Deadpool, which is why, I mean, I'm probably a bad feminist for saying this, but I was kind of glad she died right away because it changed the movie. And we didn't end up with the same thing where it's like, no, now it's all about him getting married, or like, now it's all about, like, you know, something with that, and it could have been a lot of retreading, and it wasn't, and I liked that.
They could have done that different ways, but you're right.
Yeah.
Yes,
there were a bunch of people that were upset about the complaint was that this movie didn't really have any consequences. because of what happens after the ending, kind of.
Yeah, whatever.
Because everything gets undone. Like, he time travels back and he saves her. He sharpens the butter knife or whatever, the cheese spreader.
I guess I don't remember this. It's I don't remember him saving sequence. Her.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, in the credits. The dude breaks in. He turns around. He throws the
oh yeah
the bagel cheese spreader into the guy's forehead, and he dies. And he's like, "I'll be back." And then he goes and kills himself before he can make the Green Lantern movie.
Yeah, or kills Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. I remember that now.
But yeah.
Okay, I'm remembering it now.
So, but then
I've seen so many movies lately. There's been a lot of good movies coming out.
But then, if that never happens, if she never dies. The X-Force is still alive.
Yeah.
And, I mean, apart from Domino, who is alive.
Well, and Deadpool 3, oh, yeah. So can we talk about Domino? Because she was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let me forget. But I think that it's funny because people were bitching about the Infinity War, saying there were too many consequences. And that made it unrealistic.
I didn't hear anyone. Okay.
People saying they didn't believe that it was going to happen because too many people died and therefore it was going to get undone.
And then they're pissed because, well, it's going to get undone. It's like, well, of course it's going to get undone. What the fuck is the next movie about if it's not trying to undo what happened in this movie?
But like comic book movies, you and I had said that, like, you know, when people were like, well, if they just bring everyone back, what's the point? And I remember you and I both saying to people on Facebook, like,
Jean
well, that's
Grey.
Comics. Like, that's comics, man. Have you ever read a comic book? Like, that's what happens. People die for years and then are brought back. Or entire, you know, maybe just even just like an issue arc, but like it happens all the time.
Professor X has been like dead twice in the last 5 years.
Captain America's been dead, lost in the land of winding ghosts. Like, he had a
comic called Death of Superman, and yet Superman is alive.
They've had like three of those, real. It's
the only superhero that never dies is Batman. I mean, you got to give him credit.
Oh, he died once.
He did die once. Yeah.
But like Captain America, he didn't really die. He was scattered through time.
Yeah, he is in time and space.
And was embodied as different historical Batman pastiche characters, one of which was a pilgrim witch hunter.
Yeah,
Batman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, I'll give it that. I don't know whether the writing was any good, but that sounds fucking boss.
It was kind of cool.
So my point is,
it looked stupid, but I really liked it.
My point is, it anyone saying like, oh, they're mad that this movie didn't have consequences. One, pick up a comic. Two, definitely pick up a Deadpool comic.
Yeah,
because,
come on.
Deadpool comics are the most fucky of all comics. Like, they take all of those rules of death and rebirth and everything. He can be blown apart. Like, I think he can regenerate at the atomic level or something.
He got
right?
blown into pieces and survived.
Yeah.
If Deadpool got dusted by Thanos, he'd be back in a week.
I don't know about that. Now, that's an interesting thought.
You want to talk about Deadpool comics being fucky and non-linear and all that. The Deadpool comic in print right now in issues is You Are Deadpool, the Deadpool Choose Your Own Adventure comic.
Oh, my God.
Where all the panels are numbered and you're jumping from panel, numbered panel to numbered panel depending on the decisions you make.
That sounds amazing.
I didn't want to read it in issues because I wanted to do the whole thing and be able to hold my place and go back and forth.
Of course. But choose your adventure book.
Right, yeah.
If eight of your fingers aren't stuck in the pages, you're not doing it right.
Just like a good date.
How many pages do you date?
At NBC or other places.
Yeah.
But
whoa! He's not a priest.
Yeah. I pre-ordered the trade for us because it just looked too fun to pass.
Actually,
up.
Pages would be more like a congressman. Anyway,
that's what I was thinking. So Domino.
Yeah.
Zazie.
I don't know.
We're not sure how to pronounce her name.
We love her from Atlanta.
We love her so much from Atlanta.
We know how it's spelled, and it's spelled Z-A-Z-Z-Y. Right?
Just one Z-A-Z-I-E.
So it's Zazie or Zazie, whatever.
Z-A-Z-I-E. Yep. But she's amazing, and as soon as we saw she was going to be Domino, we were both very excited. So she's great on Atlanta. On Atlanta, she plays a character called Vanessa, actually.
Right.
So that's...
And her character in Atlanta is semi-autobiographical, because like her character, she's of mixed race, grew up in Germany, is a polyglot. Like, she is a pretty remarkable woman.
Yeah.
And a great actress.
So I loved the way they did her domino makeup as being the vitiligo.
Yeah.
That she had vitiligo mark to make that diamond. Yeah. That was awesome. Because when I first saw the concept images of her, I thought it was going to be just white paint and that they were just doing that because she has darker skin.
Right.
But seeing that it was actually just naturally occurring was so cool. And I thought that was such a cool touch. Because I've always thought, like, so does Domino just, like, wake up every day and, like Sheila and Glow, does she just paint on the
It's permanent.
Is it, like, a tattoo in the comics?
It has not been explained ever, but it is permanent. The current, let's see, Gail Simone is writing Domino right now. And I think she's planning to give a backstory for it.
In any event, it's super great.
Yeah.
So her like, I love how she says like her luck powers. She's like, I got luck based powers, and he's like, well, that's not very cinematic.
Or real.
Those aren't real. That's not cinematic. And every time her power like works, it's just awesome.
It's as cinematic as fuck.
Yeah.
It's like an
elaborate Rube Goldberg of coincidence, which is how it should be. Like,
what a fun power to make a movie for action scenes and stuff.
Like,
and
it actually comes off. The irony of that line is it ends up being more cinematic. You kind of go, how can you show this in the comics anywhere near as effectively as you can? You can show it here. Oh, look, she's falling. Oh, what do you know? There's an inflatable polar bear or whatever.
And her acting,
panda bear or whatever.
Her acting was perfect because she was so nonplussed.
Yeah.
She was unworried about everything. Everyone else is like anxious or talky or whatever. And she's just like, it's going to work out for me. She knows she's not worried. I mean, everybody else, who knows? But she's not worried. Like,
this
she can't die.
This dude is going to point a gun at me, and it's not going to matter.
Yeah, like, I literally can't die. Like, it's fine.
I really loved when Juggernaut is first released from the transport.
Holy shit balls!
And she's just
it's
like,
Juggernaut.
Her luck power kicks in by her just going, nah, and just kind of like slowly disappearing into the background. Just like, I'm not even going to test it. Nobody fucks the Juggernaut.
No, yeah, he's the Juggernaut, bitch.
So I know they, there was this 90s cartoon, X-Men cartoon, that someone took bits of the cartoon and dubbed over it to make like jokey internet videos.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this line from one of them that's kind of memorable that is, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
Yeah.
And that line got used in the second X-Men movie when the British gent from the Guy Ritchie movies played the Juggernaut. And he says, you know, I'm the same thing. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. I'm a little surprised that it didn't get dropped in Deadpool or referenced.
Yeah, because Deadpool is Fox. Deadpool is Sony.
Yeah,
no, Deadpool is Fox. So they owned it. They wouldn't.
Yeah.
It wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah, that is surprising.
But I mean, they didn't stop them from making shit tons of references to the MCU because they don't know those.
It would be derivative.
Well, Fox isn't Fox going to eventually, theoretically, assuming the deal goes through, going to be MCU?
It's complicated.
I was thinking just maybe like if Fox didn't, because Fox did the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe if they didn't, if it was another studio or something.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing they just probably thought it was a more obvious joke, maybe? I don't know.
The latest on that, Tim, is that Comcast put down cash and said we'll beat Disney's offer to Fox, which would be horrible because Comcast doesn't need to own more production. Not that Disney needs to own more IP to make either, but like at least it would all be collected.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Disney would at least relegate it to the Marvel people.
June 10th or 11th, I think, is when the board meetings for Fox and Disney are happening.
By the time this airs, we already know.
We should know.
Oh my gosh!
You gotta think that Disney would just be like, fuck you, we're Disney. Here's another big pile of money.
Yeah.
Fuck off, Comcast.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And Fox would be like, whoa.
I feel like if there's anything that people like revile in terms of like, you know, the bitch baby fanboys, that there's one thing they revile more than Disney, it's Comcast.
I don't know,
that's a hate we can all get behind.
I want the MCU to be able to make a Fantastic Four movie, and I know
tell me about it.
I know that we're not talking about Fantastic Four right now, but the point is fuck that.
So
now I'm getting all depressed, even though I really
like
Deadpool
Juggernaut
too.
Did you like his CGI? He's got the helmet.
I thought
he's
a great.
Dome. He's super
I thought he was
beefy.
Fine. I mean, I'm still not nuts about Colossus.
Yeah.
In the Deadpool movies, not the character of him, but
the
fully CGI execution of Colossus still did not make me happy in this movie.
So apparently, the reason he looks so different than the other Colossus, and the reason he's they did CGI now.
When you say the other Colossus, do you mean the one from?
The other yes, the other Colossus, also the other Juggernaut.
Do you mean the one from Deadpool 1?
No,
from the
previous X-Men.
Okay,
movies.
Okay.
Apparently, there was a rule at Fox that they wanted a more realistic kind of superheroes with powers, and no one was allowed to have a superhuman. Large physique. That was a rule.
That's weird.
So Juggernaut had to be just like a big guy and not like a fucking monster.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why their Colossus was just a chrome guy who was only chrome in one scene and was just a pink guy and everything else. Deadpool does away with that, and I think that's to its benefit.
Yeah.
In a huge way.
I have a very, I don't know if this is the right way to put this. I have a, I guess, a shallow, uncanny valley when it comes to CGI. It works really well on me. It doesn't, I don't notice it the way other people seem to notice it and get annoyed by it. Like, I'm always hearing people be like, oh, the CGI in this movie was terrible. And I'm like, oh, which parts were those? Like, I mean, obviously I know there isn't a giant metal man, you know, but like, I have a hard time telling when it's fully CGI versus mocap versus some like CGI effects on top of, you know, but then there's, you know, Henry Cavill's lip. So like, there's times where I can obviously see it. When it's really bad, I can tell. The prequels, I remember being like, it felt really bad. That was a long time ago. But like, you know, but lately it's gotten so good that I didn't, when people were like, oh, the CGI fight in Deadpool was better than the CGI fight in, they said some other movie. And
Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League. And I was like, I wasn't sure which fight they meant in Deadpool. Honestly, I was like, I was trying to think about it and I had to look it up. And then I saw that it was the Juggernaut stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess that makes sense.
Juggernaut, like, if you're going to make Juggernaut the way Juggernaut should be done, you kind of got to do CG.
Yeah.
You know, Colossus, I could see you. It's more that, I mean, they're doing him CG to make him bigger, and I get that, but I also kind of want to see Colossus turn off his metal skin.
Because he can, right?
Yep.
What does he have to do to do it?
It's
he flexes a muscle or something. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. And so.
How does.
I don't know.
It's like
Emma
Frost and,
it's not a big gripe. It's just something that still kind of bugs me.
Yeah.
It is interesting that Colossus is almost always shown in his metal form, whereas Emma Frost is very rarely shown in her diamond form because Emma Frost is a sexy lady.
And because January Jones doesn't act well.
Oh, I just mean like in the comics and stuff too. Colossus is almost always in his metal form.
It's his fighting form. The most deadly thing about Emma Frost isn't her diamond form.
Sure, but even like hanging around the mansion and stuff or whatever, like he's usually, I don't think I've ever seen Colossus drawn as Peter? Yeah.
It may be, and I don't think I've ever seen Colossus as Peter. Deep, and somebody's probably going to write us a comment.
Yeah.
It may be that it's easier for Colossus to be in the metal form. Like, that's, for lack of a better term, his more natural
state. His primary mutation.
Sure.
Whereas
so that
the diamond
makes
sense.
Or secondary. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think he and Kitty Pryde are finally getting married in the comics.
Oh,
I think that's
good.
Like happening like right now, I think.
Do you think sometimes during sex she just decides to phase through him to see how it feels?
Do you think sometimes during sex he turns not metal?
Oh, yeah, just to change it up.
Just to change it
cold
up.
Cold and then hot and then cold and
then
hot.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like it'd be like, at the moment of orgasm, I'm going to phase through you. And it's just going to be, like, incredible.
Or awful.
I guess you don't know until you try.
Like, what the happened? I just fucked her through the next floor.
He doesn't know what her mutation is? Does he forget? Well, I mean, he's having sex. You forget about everything when you're having sex, pretty much.
Do you, Tim? Because that's...
I don't know.
I feel like that's dangerous.
I don't know. I mean, just saying.
So, I'm trying to think of, so the X-Force, the ragtag group that gets murdered and then I think brought back with the time travel shenanigans.
Yeah,
I feel like he just saved Peter. That's what I felt.
Just Peter?
Yeah,
just
I felt like he just saved Peter.
What?
He does love Peter.
He likes Peter more than the rest of them.
He is pan as fuck.
Yeah.
So I I thought it was funny that in the promotion and leading up to Deadpool 2, everyone was like, it's got Shatterstar. Shatterstar is like openly bi, alien yep. sex machine guy. He like, like he'll fuck anything that moves. Like Shatterstar is into it. And they murder him right away.
Yeah.
And yet the movie still has better LGBTQIA yeah. representation yeah. than most other superhero movies because of Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Yukio.
And yeah. I like that because Negasonic's just like, this is my girlfriend. She's not like, what?
Yukio
you're a
is so
lesbian.
Cute too. Hi. Like, hello.
Hi, Yukio. Hi, Yukio. Hi, Wade.
Hi, Wade. Like, it's just so cute every time. And I love that he was so taken, like, because he was, I don't want to say obsessed, but he was very taken by this couple. Not because yeah. they were lesbians. Nothing about
it's
that.
It's not a novelty.
It's because Negasonic Teenage Warhead is such a dour, like snotty, like grump. And then she's got this, like, super happy, fun girlfriend who's just smiley and friendly. And
fucking
it's just
bubblegum.
His face, it's like he was more just like, how is this? Huh? You know, like, all right. Like, it was great. It was great.
So we'll end on this before we go to five questions.
Five questions.
Should there be a Deadpool 3?
Sure.
Forget any Disney Fox stuff.
I mean, yes, because I love them. So, in that sense,
would you be just as satisfied
until you make a shitty Deadpool? I'm in for more.
Not end on top. Go until you peter out. Heh.
I don't think that they're gonna. I think that at worst, what would happen is they would make one where you're like, okay, that's enough, and not like that was a bad one. I could see them doing another one, and it could be like a wedding or something. You know, a happy ending ish. Thing for Wade.
She was copycat all along and she would, yeah.
Something, yeah. maybe.
So what about an X-Force movie? Would you be satisfied? Instead of doing Deadpool 3, what if they had Cable and Domino and Wade and Shatterstar and the rest of the X-Force folks? What if they did an X-Force movie instead?
I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it, but what I am saying is that Fox has shown... what do we want to say? A inconsistent record when it comes to making team superhero mm-hmm. films.
They have like two good ones.
Yeah,
and a lot of bad ones.
I'm less excited about that prospect.
Yeah. I would prefer Deadpool 3 to be an X-Force movie.
Okay.
Because I think that if they rebrand it to X-Force, they're going to go PG-13. And it's not going to be as good.
That's a good point.
I think that if they stick with the Deadpool franchise, they can keep it rated R. Everyone knows what they're getting into. Sure. We can keep the wacky humor, the outrageous violence, the sex, the swearing, and still have it be like a Deadpool and X-Force movie,
yeah.
but not have to deal with like, oh, this is an X title and therefore it has to be PG-13.
But X-Force is... historically, like a violent and not for kids comic.
Yeah, so it's the. I mean, there's lots of stuff that is, and they yeah, and like the Winter Soldier is historically pretty, you know, violent and things like. There's a lot of things that are more violent and rated R than they do, and they take it down to PG-13.
Yeah, you can you can make Deadpool 3 into an X-Force movie the same way you made Captain America: Civil War into an Avengers movie.
Also, violence isn't something that gets you an R rating anymore. You can have a very violent PG. 13 movie, it just wouldn't be the same without the swearing and the sex and the dirty jokes and the fourth wall breaking. I think I don't think X-Force would be as interesting without that.
Well,
because they're not going to do my favorite, which is
disagree with us, Nick.
X-Factor is what I really want. If they're going to make another X title, I want X-Factor.
I thought I heard something that's a possibility.
Yeah,
maybe just Madrox.
Oh,
but
God.
Yeah, he's getting a comic now too. Is a Madrox comic coming
up?
Oh
my God, don't tease me.
Anyway, so let's go to five questions.
Five questions.
Molly, who do we have answers from?
We have answers from Ken Larson.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah. He just gets right into it, so you guys hit me up.
Ken Larson. All right, Ken, what conspiracy theory do you find interesting or compelling?
The Hollow Earth. Some people believe that there's a large opening at the North Pole that leads into the Earth, where there's another world with its own sun and people living there.
There is a large opening at the North Pole. It's being caused by global warming.
My stepfather once told me that that's why there were no satellite pictures of the North Pole. I'd love to see flat earthers and hollow earthers debate.
Oh, that'd be a good fight. like Jets and the Sharks, like in the street brawling. I'd watch that. Question number two, what is your perfect 2-week vacation?
I'd like to bum around the Ireland and Scotland, playing in Celtic sessions wherever they're occurring.
Ken Larson, by the way, Boron player.
Yes, I was just want to point out that Ken Larson's signature on his email says, Boron, it rhymes with moron.
That's how I learned how to pronounce
it. To make it easier
Boron.
To pronounce it because it's not spelled. It's spelled, it's obviously Gaelic, and therefore right. It's spelled ridiculously.
He is an exceptional Boron player. I'm just going to point that out.
Amazing.
Really, really good.
Does he make tippers?
He does. Too? He does. I have several tippers made by Mr. Ken Larson.
That's amazing.
And we should include a link to his his Etsy shop. Because I'm sure that we have plenty of listeners who play the Boron.
Yeah.
All right, question.
His shop is Moron, spelled like Boron.
That's great.
For real, though.
Okay. Shit, we're on which question?
Your favorite.
Question number three.
Your favorite.
Oh, what's your favorite?
Nope.
No, I don't know.
Movie or book?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, and then it was lost. Okay, what's a movie or book that changed your life and why?
Lucifer's Hammer by Larry Niven and Jerry Pournelle. While in elementary school, a friend and I were playing hooky downtown Minneapolis, heading home after climbing around on the Grain Belt sign. And as we walked by the public library, he reached his arm into the external book return slot and pulled out this book and said, "Want a book?" And I, as a young delinquent, said, yes. This was my first real science fiction book, which led me to being a lifelong sci-fi fantasy fan, Uncle Hugo's, Renaissance Festivals, Mini-Con, Irish Music, Gallo Glass, and who I am now. I still reread it every few years.
Who you are now, which is a felon.
That's a good answer for a book that's changed your life, because a kid stuck his skinny arm into the return slot and yanked out a book.
Wow.
Want a book? Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow. What's the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
In 1983, I asked Larry Niven to sign my chest with a razor blade in a Mini-Con elevator.
Whoa.
Remember when Mini-Con was crazy? He just seemed startled and got off the elevator at the next stop. I didn't have a razor with me at the time anyway.
Yeah.
You just wanted to freak out.
What I would have loved is if you'd pulled out like a Bic. Like, just like... Amazing.
Yeah, that's
that is a very geeky thing.
That is a very geeky thing.
And the best part is that Larry Niven is one of the authors of Lucifer's Hammer, the book that changed his life. So
you don't ask him to sign with a razor. You get him to sign with a pen and then go over it with a razor later. Mm.
So you have you do it yourself. Yeah.
You get that ink in the scar and that's real in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, prison tattoo style.
Question number five. What's your favorite hangover cure?
I don't believe I've ever had a hangover, as I'm not fond enough of most alcohol to get drunk, but lots of caffeine is what revives me after a rough night of anything else I'm imbibing.
Ooh.
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 A rough
heroin.
Night of imbibed lots of heroin.
I don't know if caffeine helps you after a rough night of heroin, but I guess I'll have to
make things worse.
I'm not an expert where that's concerned.
Thank you so much, Ken. That's great.
Yeah. Thanks, Ken. Hey, if you want to send in your answers to our five questions, send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com.
5questions@geekswithoutgod.com.
If you have thoughts on Deadpool 2, whether we want to see Deadpool 3 or X-Force or however you felt about the ending, give us a comment. I think we'll be beyond spoiler worriedness for the comments. I think you can probably... go ahead and comment if you have feelings about the ending or copycat, not copycat, Vanessa's death, that sort of thing. I think we're good for that. Go ahead and leave a comment there. Hey, our Patreon supporters are the best.
They are.
You're great folks. You're probably hearing this early if you're one of our supporters. Thank you very much. Just want to take a moment to say that we sound better. We have better equipment. We have a button maker. We have all this stuff that we're able to do because of your support. It's great. I just paid a web hosting bill because of you guys. It's awesome. So on that note, we will be back next week for more.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
Jared Leto is the worst fucking Joker ever.